Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Get James on to say talk about Fife Club.
We don't have the enthusiasm James has to actually tell people to talk about Fife Club anymore.
Too long, yous have never had the fucking enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair. Yeah.
To the point where I think James sometimes now doesn't have enthusiasm because we've killed him.
Yes. We were black in his heart.
James is now dead inside.
Talk about Fife Club. Again, thanks very much for listening to us. I did manage to eventually get us promoted this week.
That's right. Kat just got sick of his beer. Did you not notice that, Jamie?
I didn't see.
Kat just got a huge bit of pearl barley in his beard. Just spotted us.
He's got a pearl necklace in
it. And Kat was having his dinner before we started talking, and he got it all over himself.
I couldn't understand why she was laughing. Ah, well, saving it for later, eh?
Just tickled me. Sorry. Continue. He's cleaned himself now.
I was saying, thanks for listening anyway, because I did manage to actually get it promoted this week. Get some people out, get some stuff out there and have some more people listen than normal. That was nice. So, yeah, thanks.
Can people, if we don't manage to get it out, promote, is there some way that people can subscribe to the podcast, perhaps?
Yes.
And it can drop into their device once a week?
Yes, as I'm always telling people when I do promote it, it's available through Apple Podcasts or iTunes. It's available through Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other great podcast providers.
So if they click subscribe on one of their podcast providers, they could automatically get it every week.
And that's who's been listening the last couple of weeks, are the hardcore.
If you email the webmaster, Kutch, he'll add you to the web ring of Fife Club.
What's the web ring?
Was it web ring or earring? No, it was web ring.
Web rings.
It was web ring. Yeah. It was like links upon links of sites in like web. So 1.0. Yeah, it was like 90s, early noughties internet.
The idea of sort of like, for example, a podcast network at the moment where, you know, you get a group of podcasts together to help promote each other and self-promote. Well, that's what a web ring was like.
Okay. But like in shitty HTML.
Yeah.
It was like five links or something.
And instead of an advert for Yahoo at the top, it was an advert for all the other websites that were in this web ring.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know what I miss?
What do you miss, Max?
Websites that have a page of links on them. Like, there's just something really cute and quaint about that. It's like, this is welcome to my website. Thank you for visiting my website. Here's some links that you might find interesting.
I think, do we have links?
We've got a link.
Fuck
page.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I thought we did. Yeah.
That's old school. What's on our links page?
Oh, I think we've got links to
Luddin.
have we got a picture of a links, first of all?
No, we don't.
See? Or Luddin links.
London links.
Yeah.
Links, yeah. Yeah, of course. Please come in. Right, I would like control
over...
It
might get renamed now.
Yeah. London links, yeah.
I think it's got like the Cold Town Daisies. It's got... what else? Walk Fife and... anybody we've had a connection with, they're on the links page.
What's his name from Walk Fife? Give us a shout out today or yesterday?
Sean, yeah.
Sean, I always forget his name. Thank you very much, Sean. It's not like you haven't helped us enough.
Jamie still doesn't care enough to remember.
I'm terrible. I forget everyone's name who I ever meet. Only because I've known you guys since high school. That's the only reason I know you guys.
And even then.
Even then. Yeah, that's... that's right, Carl.
I suppose I better introduce you, seeing as you're here. And I don't really, again, have anything written. It's not great. So, yeah, on the mics with myself, Kutch, tonight is Jamie.
Hello.
And Mags.
Hi.
Wow.
There we go.
That was like the...
Welcome to the podcast.
As you can tell, we're all a bit tired and frazzled, and there's only three of us this week. So it'll be nice, be kind to us. And Kutch is still trying to eat his soup.
Yeah. Out of his beard.
Out of his beard.
Oh, fuck you guys.
Do you remember, what was your favourite Roald Dahl book when you were kids?
You're going to save it. twits, aren't you? Because yeah. because
Fantastic
of
Mr. Fox was always mine.
Fantastic Mr. Fox yeah. was good. We had Fantastic Mr. Fox on tape, and he used to listen to it in the car. But I always used to say my dad was the guy at Twits because he always had like cornflakes and his beard and stuff like that. But
I could see that. Yeah.
I always like. Oh yeah. I always liked Revolting Rhymes personally. Like oh, short yes. short stories. Yep. It was good.
There was one about the porcupine. Do you remember the porcupine?
And, yeah.
And the dentist was called Mr. Myers in it because she has to go to. So she sits down on a porcupine and she has to go to the dentist to get all the things out of her bum. Mm. And the only person that can do it is the dentist. And so, like, as kids, the dentist was just called Mr. Myers. Like, it was, that was the dentist that you went to. We had a female dentist and we still talked about going to see Mr. Myers instead of going to the dentist. So I only learned later in life it's because my mum had a painful fear of the dentist and I don't think she could say we're going to the dentist. She had to say we're going to Mr. Myers instead. But
did she have an incident with a porcupine and a dentist?
Possibly.
Or someone that kept coming back to life trying to kill her in a white mask.
What's that?
Mike Myers?
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh, no, it's Halloween.
No, she was fine with, yeah, no, yeah. She was fine with Mr. Myers. That was it. She was not okay with saying we're going to the dentist. Yeah. It was the whole dentist thing that she didn't like. So someone just messaged me about the death of Terry Nutkin. Did he not die a couple of years ago or something?
Terry Nutkins, as in?
As in the guy off of...
What, the Really Wild Show?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Kevin's wanted to go for pints to celebrate the anniversary of his death.
All right, okay.
possibly. So this is what it's like. This is what it's like working at the Green Party. Basically, we go to the pub every week, and each week we have to think of an excuse to justify going. Can't just be like, we're going for pints. It'd be like, oh, it's someone's birthday. Or, oh, someone's leaving. Oh, Terry Nutkins died recently. Let's go to the pub.
Wow.
We just need to admit that we have a drink problem. And it'll all be fine.
Celebration problem.
Yeah. We just celebrate things too much. That's the issue.
So, Ruskies.
Ruskies, aye.
Yeah.
How about them Ruskies, eh?
Yeah.
Oh. So, what have they been up to this week?
They
Everybody's favourite bad guy that they love.
Yeah, they've been, two of them, whose names I can't be bothered looking up, have been.
Let's face it. Won't be able to pronounce it anyway because it'll be bloody foreign.
Yeah. Brexit means Brexit. I don't have to pronounce these foreign names no more.
Great, we're going full Brexit.
Yeah.
What
if your name isn't Bangers and Mash, I don't care.
Can't wait till we leave the EU and get rid of all these bloody Russians.
Bloody Russians.
Polish people are Russian, right? No.
Yeah.
No, so, anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, aye. So, two Russian agents have been formally accused by the Prime Minister and the police in the UK this week of being the ones who attempted to murder the Skripals and did murder...
Yeah, the...
The women.
Who's... This isn't this terrible? Like, we all
who
know...
Who found the perfume bottle
the
and then... Oh, sorry, her... Apparently, they hadn't actually said how they found it. People are like, they just find it in a field. Apparently, it was on a charity bin.
Yeah, so they were... So everyone... This is the thing. Everyone knows about the Skripals who were, you know, a wealthy Russian family who were targeted about it. But nobody knows the name of the actual woman that died, which... her and her partner were homeless people and they'd been living in, they were part of the homeless community in...
What place next to Salisbury.
Anyway. And
Al something.
They'd been living in a homeless hostel and he'd recently been rehoused. So they had a temporary accommodation. But apparently there was a big group of them and they used to go through the bins of people's houses, but also to charity shops as well. Mm. To look for stuff that was working that they could go and take to the
dumpster diving
and sell. Dumpster diving, yeah. And they reckon that that's how they came into contact with it, that they were going through bins and they came across it. And but they obviously liked it and took it home. Like,
well, it's only so they showed a picture of it today. I always imagined it as like he saw like a really nice thing, like a fancy
bottle,
but it's only like a small applicator thing. It's like, you know, maybe that size, and it's got a wee thing. And it's got a wee
but
tube coming out of it.
Thought, oh, that'd be nice.
Oh, no, totally.
Some perfume and she put it on herself.
No, totally. It's horrible, isn't it?
It's really horrible.
Imagine living with that. It's not his fault at all.
No, but it's also there you go. There's a classic thing where this has been used to obviously target two potential influential people or people that were involved.
Guy was a former spy.
And in trying to get rid of it, you've now actually hurt innocence, like actual innocence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because the other thing that came out today, now they have evidence against these people, and they also have intelligence, not evidence, but intelligence that these people are, RGU? I've forgotten. Mm-hmm.
GRU.
GRU.
Yeah.
Is that the secret service, the Russian secret service?
Yeah. No, they don't have evidence of that, but they have, through intelligence channels, apparently known that. And I think on this podcast, we criticised, there was a bit of a thing where they were like, oh, trust us, it was the Russians with no evidence.
Uh-huh.
But they claim to have a pretty strong case now in, you know, video evidence linking them to going there at the right times and everything. Whether they're Russian agents or not, if they've got all the evidence showing it's them and they have intelligence saying it's Russian evidence, then I'm okay to believe it, but, you know, it's much more likely that they are Russian agents than not. But they're saying they don't have enough thing to prove that, but they have enough to charge them for a whole host of things like attempted murder, conspiracy to murder, all these other things.
Yeah.
You know?
So I've just pulled it up. They are Alexandra Petrov. It's my terrible Russian accent. And Ruslan Borishov.
Let's call him Bodger and Badger.
Sounds like Bangers and Mash, mate.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they say that there's enough evidence to charge the men with attempted murder.
Yeah.
They've got, they've released footage of them, CCTV footage of them at Gatwick Airport. And then they've got also released CCTV footage of them in Salisbury on the 4th of March, which is the day of the poisoning. And they'd also apparently been there the previous day on a reconnaissance mission.
To be fair, they'll probably just have, what was the guy's name that poisoned Alexander Litvinenko? Because he's now a politician in Russia. And because the thing is, they won't be able to travel to any country that has an extradition thing with the UK or EU.
But yeah, because Russia doesn't extradite its citizens, does it?
No.
Yeah, so if they'll
just stay in Russia and they'll probably be made like politicians.
Heroes, yeah.
Yeah.
The Russian state has responded apparently and said that they do not recognise the names of the men. not bothered looking better, just like, nope, don't know him.
Don't know, mate.
Don't know
Bodger and Badger.
Again,
what are you
thing,
talking about?
Like what Mark was telling us about like how people will act in sort of the hopeful knowledge that what their actions will please. So it then means that there is like plausible deniability the way through the chain, because they might not actually have anything technically to do with the Russian government, it's all been done on behalf of them, basically.
I can't think of the right word. It's like extra state actor or something like that. Also this week, Putin, the Ukrainian Prime Minister got into, or President, whatever it is, got into a shouting match with Putin. And apparently Putin just said, like, straight up, he got so angry. The Ukrainian Prime Minister claims that he said, so those special forces, they are like Russian, you know? Like, those people who, you know, they are like Russian special forces, not just citizens in Ukraine, just admitted it straight out.
To the Ukrainian Prime Minister.
It wasn't recorded, but that's what he's claiming.
Wow. Yeah. Does that surprise you?
It means nothing to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, deny.
Yeah. Admit, deny.
Well, it's quite a fascinating story, and it rumbles on.
Keeps going. Anyway,
let's talk about nice things, like what I had for my lunch today.
Okay, what did you have for your lunch?
Well, I did. I just thought, like, I don't normally talk about what I had for my lunch on the podcast.
This has a point to it.
No content at all.
This does kind of have a point to it that will link onto other stuff. It's not just us not knowing completely what we're doing. Believe in us, even though you shouldn't.
I had a moment today, and it's the sort of thing that I thought was worth talking about, because it was lunchtime, and I was like, what do I fancy for my lunch? I was like, not salads or sandwiches or anything like that. I got a total urge for some Stevens Stovies, and I went, even though it was 12:30 and all the kids were coming out of the high school, and it was heaving, I walked down to my local Stevens, and I got some Stovies in a polystyrene cup with a plastic spoon. Yes, used plastic spoon because the woman put it in my little paper bag without me noticing, and otherwise I would have said no. But I got home and it was there and I thought I'd better use it now. I've got some single-use plastic.
You could have put it in your drawer and kept it for another time. I hope you washed because it. Are you using it again?
I've not put it in the bin yet, to be honest. It's on my desk.
Covered in caked in stovies.
Caked in stovies and brain sauce. But it occurred to me that the summer is officially over. When you start having stovies for your lunch, instead of salads or things like that, or sandwiches or whatever, that's it. It's done. Like, it's behind. Summer's behind us now.
But then,
and I was a little bit sad about that.
Stevens have stovies all year round.
Well, they do have stovies all year round, but no.
Somebody's
eating them. Who buys stovies in like July for their lunch?
I think we have.
If it's chucking it down with rain, maybe, but not the sort of July that we had this year. Mm. Boiling hot day.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a polystyrene cup of stovies for your lunch.
I remember going into Stephen's on one of the really warm days and asking for a bridie and making the mistake of not specifying a cold bridie. And I got a hot bridie and that was
too hot.
Yeah, it was just, it wasn't.
There's too much.
It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't right for the weather.
The perfect bridie for anything is the one that's been left for a while but it's still a little bit warm.
Bit warm.
They're the best thing, yeah. For the football, any occasion.
You get the best bridie at the football because they've baked them and then I think they put them on the big trays and send them straight to the football, but they keep them in these big warming tray, these big like metal wardrobe things full of bridies. It's like I would like one in my house. They are amazing. But the thing is, so they put them in before the match starts and so they've probably been sitting there for like an hour and it's obviously hot enough for you to be allowed to sell it, but it's not like roasting hot like when you get them at the shop sometimes. Yeah. And they are perfect. And sometimes they've gone because they've gone a little bit crusty and the pastry started to got a real crunch on it. It's really good.
Really nice.
Football bridies are the best, yeah.
Do you know they used to make them on site?
Bridies?
Yeah.
I've been in the kitchens at Eastern Park. There's big industrial kitchens in there. So they probably could bake them.
Once upon a time, like we're talking about 18, 19 years ago, I had a tour on a match day and it was in the morning and they were making fresh bridies that morning.
When did he? I remember before Stephen started doing the football at Eastern Park, it used to be Parr's Food and you used to get pre-made burgers in like foil bags and the buns went all soggy. They went, it's got like sausage rolls and stuff like that. So then Stephen started, I think it was after they did the stadium up.
Yeah, it was, because you're looking at, at least 99, 98, 99, something like that?
Yeah, that
would have been about that time.
98, 99 would have been when Stephen started doing the food, so you could be correct.
I
was about to question your dating there.
No, I'm absolutely correct. Yeah. But because I remember going in and they had the massive pot of the beef, like the steak.
Oh, they made it all and everything.
Yeah, they did the whole thing.
That can't be the Stevens one then.
No, it was.
Was it?
They were making the whole thing in East End. But not anymore.
So, moving into autumn.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to think, first of all, let's look back. Let's do a review of the summer. Let's talk about what's your funnest thing you've done this summer?
Fucking nothing.
Jimmy,
snapping my toe in half.
You've survived like a near fatal foot injury. I feel like you should have a renewed sense of purpose as we go into autumn.
No,
is it not?
I just wear wrestling boots now. That's it.
Oh well, I thought,
just a little bit cautious.
I saw the guy tonight at the gym that gave me a hand out to the car. I said, because I hadn't seen him since. Oh, thanks very much, pal. He's like, "Hey, you're right." Just a scar. Can't bend it. Feels like it'll explode. That's about it.
Well, maybe we can talk about the worst things that have happened to us this summer. Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. I was going to say we had a pretty good whiskey fest, but we've talked about that enough.
Also, you can't remember it now, so you can't tell us.
Lord. That probably was the best thing that happened to me all summer, actually. Cause I didn't have much money to do stuff this summer, and the one thing I did was the Whiskey Fringe, and it was fucking good.
Yeah, it was. What else has happened this summer?
I was sick at someone's wedding.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna tell you about this. So I only wedding I was invited to all summer.
That's because you're sick at people's weddings.
Yeah, well exactly. No, we were everybody I know who's my age, like in their early 30s, that I was like, oh, I've got so many weddings to go to. Oh my God, I need to get outfits. I need to get presents. I don't have weddings to go to. I don't seem to get invited to people's weddings very often. So this year I actually was invited to a very good friend of Craig's weddings, which was a very posh affair at Jupiter Artlands, just outside of Edinburgh. Mm. And we all had to go, we all met up in Edinburgh, we all had to get a minibus through to bloody Jupiter Art. And it was beautiful, it was a really nice wedding and I'm really glad to got invited. But I went out the night before with all the people from the wedding, I'd like to point out. This wasn't. So I was out with everybody the night before. Got absolutely hammered, like, was having an argument with the best man. I called him a Nazi, and he stormed off and wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the night.
Why don't I get invited to weddings?
Because then the next day I was hanging out, I got up and I went and got Stephen's brandy for my breakfast. It was good, and I got dressed, and I thought, I'm going to be okay. This is good fun. I'm going to be fine. We got to the pub. I had a drink. I had a, this is important, I'll come back to this later, I had a Copperberg summer fruits, because that's the only thing I could manage, because I was hungover, and everybody was looking beautiful, and it was all nice, it was all good, and then the minibus turned up, and I remembered how sick I feel in minibuses at the best of times, never mind when I'm...
You could have never been really on the A-team.
So I got on the bus... And I instantly was like, I'm going to be sick. we had to, and the drive was, the drive should have been about 20 minutes, but the driver got lost. And so it turned into about a 45 minute drive, and the whole time I was like, I'm going to be sick, I'm going to be sick. And I swear to God, I was 5 minutes from the venue and I was sick everywhere. Oh, and I was sick of myself, and my nice outfit, I was sick of my shoes.
Oh, you didn't tell me that earlier. You made it sound like you were just like sick onto the floor. And well, realise you're actually sick on yourself. That is so much funnier.
It went on my chest. And then I got off the bus and then I was sick in the car park at Jupiter Artland. I apologise to anybody who was at Jupiter Artland this summer and saw some lassie in a clearly in a wedding outfit being sick at the side of the car park because that was me.
At least you'd have a beer to get.
But
sick caught in it.
The groom, I know, that's the thing. But on the plus side, the bride wasn't on the bus. I don't think she ever knew about it. I hope no one told her. Sorry if you're listening to this.
Someone definitely told her.
Well, but come she on, wasn't Max. On. There was like three minibuses. There was only a few of us on it. We were on with the groom. Groom didn't seem that fussed about it. And he did say, him or the best man told me later on that it was the best smelling sick that they'd ever smelled. Like you, Fritz Copperberg. So there you go.
Summer Fritz Copperberg and a steak brady. Best smelling.
I definitely digested it. There was no steak brady in it. I digested that by then. Obviously, it was just basically Summer Fritz Copperberg.
Oh,
but
man.
It made my feet quite sticky because I was sucking my feet.
So I think I saw some photos of this just the other day on Facebook. And it now explains why there was one where I thought you were giving everybody the stink eye. But it's probably just because you were so hungover.
Well, no, that's fine. After I've been sick, I immediately got on the Prosecco. And I was fine after that. And it was a really good wedding. We had a lovely day. Yeah. But I kept asking Craig if I smelled of sick. Thankfully, it was outside, so if I did smell a sick, it would just mingle with the cows in the field and stuff like that.
Oh, that's a classic story.
So, if anybody would like to invite me to their wedding...
If anybody wants a classy bar...
I'll call you a Nazi and spew on myself.
I am top banter.
Well... Sorry.
Do you have a summer story that can top that cut?
No, I actually don't. I can give you a review at weddings. You were all right. You didn't spew at mine.
I didn't spew at your wedding
at
all.
Well, not that I knew.
No, even later at night, I didn't spew at your wedding.
No.
But I didn't have to get
no
in the minibus.
No one spewed, actually.
I would not have been. It's the bloody minibus. Who plans their wedding involving minibuses? Well.
Oh. So this autumn stuff, right? It's all just like the Stereophonics song. Fucking clocks go back, railway track, something blocks the light again.
And the train runs late for the first time. So that's about...
First two albums are fucking good.
Yeah, that was the first album. That's about somebody being killed on a railway. Yeah.
But there's also there's no mistake, I smell it's that time of year again. I can taste the air.
Yeah. So we've been dog sitting this week and I've been getting up early to walk the dog because... he fucking doesn't understand the concept of lions or anything.
Yeah, I've got a cat that's like
I know.
That.
It's like as soon as the
cat
sun's
five
up,
every morning.
As soon as the sun's up, it's like, I am awake now. Take me for a walk. Anyway, so I've been going for walks. It's stupid early in the morning. And it's felt proper autumnal.
Mm-hmm. It's been cold. Like the last couple of nights have been proper, like nippy cold. It's so weird because I think again because we've had that like absolute glorious summer and like every night has been so mild,
yeah,
right the way through that having these sort of cold, crisper nights again.
I love it. Cold, I love it. I'm basically a vampire. It's fucking great.
No, I do like it feels like autumn feels full of possibilities. Yeah, I am at this point.
I hate it.
It's my favorite time of year by a fucking mile.
It starts getting dark at night.
Yes.
And you can put. You know, my favourite thing is you get all the jumpers. I get all my jumpers out of the cupboard and I make sure they've not been eaten by moths over the summer and then I try them all on.
I get them out and look and go, oh, great.
Oh, no, I love
and
autumn.
My coat. I love I've got a really good winter coat that I bought last
proper,
year.
Like,
I'm looking forward to wearing it again.
Sad on the go. Like,
do you?
Yeah.
It's working where you work, though, especially because when you go into that place and it's dark. And then it's artificial lighting all day, and then you come out, and it's dark, and it's that hammers you like.
That's the middle of winter, but this is why autumn's good because we're not quite there yet. It's just feeling that way.
Yeah,
it's there's the... less because summer's always like, oh, it's summer. I'm gonna have the summer of my life. It's gonna be so much fun. And then you're sick at a wedding, and you're not invited to anywhere, and then you spend all your money on holiday and all this stuff, and it never quite lives up to what it's meant to be. Whereas autumn's just autumn. It's just like, do you know what? Summer's done. You can be whoever you want to be now.
You can sit and watch TV as
you
much
can.
As you
can
want.
Sit and watch TV as much as you want. You can buy a new notebook and write your intentions down. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos recently, as you can tell, women's lifestyle videos.
I'm just
going
to say.
It's like, it's autumn. Buy yourself a new notebook.
Well, I was about to say I've never bought myself a notebook, but I have.
You all
bought myself a to-do pad.
A to-do pad. There you go, exactly. It's like getting organized. We're like into the ninth month of the year now. It's time to review your New Year's resolutions and see how you've been getting on with them, all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, there's just something. Also, no, do you know what I think it is that I like about, and I'm such a fucking geek, I just realized as I say this. It reminds me of going back to school, and I was always really excited about going back to school.
Oh, you are such a
fuck. What the fuck, Max?
You get new stationery, and you get new shoes for going back to school, and it was always exciting.
No, new stationery, maybe, and, you know, bits and pieces, but then there was the other side of it, which was you were going back to school.
See, I really like autumn and winter for almost the exact opposite reasons from you. I like it because I basically spend all the year thinking existence is pain and life is horrible. And then autumn and winter sort of reflect that externally. And then in the summer, in the spring
so
and in the
validated.
Summer. Yeah, in the spring and in the summer, I feel like there's discordance. Like there's like, oh, I feel this
it's
inside, but the outside world is wrong.
It's just rubbing your face.
Yeah, just like, what the fuck? Why is everything so happy and bright? What's going on? Fuck this.
Oh, God.
We're
well,
so happy.
Do you know what, Jamie? I think if you got yourself a nice pen and a new notebook and you wrote your feelings down in your journal, you would feel a lot better about life. That's all I'm saying. Just give it a go. The power of journaling.
Dear Dad, journaling.
I don't journal at all. It's bullshit. But all these girls on YouTube tell me that.
I'm only going to start journaling if something horrific happens, so then it'll become a book. And I'll just make up shit for before that.
Have you ever, slightly off tangent, but have you ever read The Book of Dave by Will Sell?
No.
I've not read it, but I want to read it because I quite like his novels, but I love the concept of this. So The Book of Dave is based on like a taxi driver in like the late 20th, early 21st century, keeps a diary of just his like day-to-day life being a taxi driver in London. But the book's set like 2,000 years in the future where this has become a sacred text and he's like a god and people like form this religion around Dave the taxi driver's journal that he was writing. And yeah, I don't know what happens in it, stuff like that, but I love that. Like, imagine if you were writing a journal of your random bullshit and somebody in the future thinks it's the Bible or
it's
a new Bible.
It's very Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
who music becomes the uniting force for all of humanity in
music,
the future.
Yeah, the music.
Also makes me think of a little bit of Red Dwarf as well with...
With Cat.
Cat, yeah. And how it's all...
Was it Red Hats and the Green Hats?
Yeah.
It's meant to be blue or something. Yeah.
Mental stuff.
Anyway. Last word on the autumn.
Uh-huh.
He hates me doing this, but I'm about to embarrass my other half, Craig. Mm-hmm. Craig can't say the word autumnal. And he always says autumnal. And that's like, just, you know that way when you're just like, you're taking the piss out of somebody. And I now started saying autumnal, and originally it was taking piss out of, but now I can't say it the other way now. And I keep saying autumnal and sounding stupid. So.
It's like I've got a friend who is Nicole. Her name is Nicole.
Nicole, not Nicole.
Yeah. But because of having known a Nicole, I kept calling her Nicole, and she got fucking annoyed with that.
How does she spell it? Just ask.
N-I-C-O-L-L-E, Nicole.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's just being pedantic, isn't it?
Call her Bodger, mate.
She would actually fight you on that. Which is why I got to the point where I now say Nicole, but I now can't get away from saying Nicole whenever I see Nicole down. And it's the same thing. I've corrected myself so much with that one name that I've fucked it for the other.
I'd just like to point out that my joke about Polish people earlier was obviously ironic.
I forgot what it was now. It was ages ago.
I can't remember. Song about Brexit and immigration and Russians being Polish or some shit. Which I don't think is good, because I think Poland was invaded by Russia. Sure. They don't like it.
No.
You've just alienated our massive Polish listenership, I'm afraid.
As long as those Ghanaians keep listening,
I was just
going
to say the Ghanaians are all
I can just never visit because it's constantly warm and nice there. I don't agree with it. Just don't agree with it.
So, the other good thing about autumn, other than it rectifying your cognitive dissonance.
Thank you. Sorry, we just went direct to my soul for a second.
Okay. So, we get some banging telly in September and October, don't we? Like, summer's just been... Well, actually, I have to say, there's been some awesome sport on this summer. I've really enjoyed, the European Games was fantastic.
Have you been watching the Diamond League? Because you're totally into athletics.
No, I missed the Diamond League. But Laura Muir won the Diamond League. It's just the first time, a woman has won. Because we've had the odd, Kelly Holmes and that won medals. Well, actually, no, the Diamond League's fairly new.
It's new. It's only been around for the last few years, isn't it?
Well, it's been around for, 6 or 7 years.
Oh, really?
Well, possibly 10.
Really?
I mean, there's always been a league of sorts. Diamond League's basically where people make their money. And
it's trying to be a pro league, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically a league, because you don't get money from winning even gold medals at the Olympics and stuff like that. You get sponsorship deals, and you get money from your national sports bodies and things like that, but there's no sponsorship. So Diamond League, all the sponsorship. Anyway, Laura Muir won the Diamond League, the 1500 metres, which is an immense effort. So well done her. But anyway, so it's been good sport on and stuff, but in general, the telly's shit over the summer, isn't it?
Mm.
And usually because of the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it's summer, people are going out, folk are going on holiday.
That's it.
You don't want to run a series of six really intense dramas.
Well, that's it.
Over the summer,
not,
when folk are on holiday.
There's just not folk watching TV. No. Enough folk watching TV. And then, when they are, it's usually things like World Cup or Olympics or something like that that's on. So.
It's a known thing in TV. The numbers go down because everybody's out doing something.
Coming into autumn TV series.
The other classic was the Ant-Man and the Wasp situation, at the cinema, where...
Oh, because of the World Cup.
Yeah, that came out in the States in, July?
June, yeah.
Whenever it was, just before the World Cup kicked off, but it didn't come, wasn't released in Europe because of the World Cup. Because basically,
no one will go and see it.
And no one will go and see the film.
Too bloody right. No, I can't imagine the last time I sat in a cinema. Anyway.
Fair enough.
Just comment on my life. More than anything, comment on the fact, don't do anything.
There's always good TV coming
so
up.
So what's what are folk watching and what are folk looking forward to?
Well, there's been some stuff that's just come on. Well, The Bodyguard on BBC.
Will always.
Mags. That bodyguard.
Yeah. Mags available for weddings and bar mitzvahs.
I will be stuck at your wedding.
And call someone at bar mitzvah a Nazi as well. So the Bodyguard is a BBC Bond series, and it's quite good. It's like,
what is it about?
It's about a bodyguard. So it's a guy who's ex-forces, been in Afghanistan, I'm pretty sure, and is now a is it PPO, personal protection officer?
Okay.
And then he basically saves loads of people from a terrorist incident and gets upgraded. This is like first 10 minutes of the first episode. Gets upgraded to looking after the Home Secretary.
All right, okay.
But he's sort of he hates politicians because he's got like wounds and PTSD and, you know, and it's all about, there's a sort of, I can't say too much more about spoiling it, but it does quite well with, from the first scene, getting that tension going.
Okay.
There's a few things in it. I do really like it, but I was saying to Dave earlier tonight, actually, co-host Dave, that bits of it do remind me sometimes of a Tom Clancy novel. A novel, but like a TV show. I've never read one of his novels, but it's like, I can't say anything about spoiling it.
But it's got that feel to it.
That's the thing. It doesn't have that feel to it. It has a very different feel, but there are points.
Right, okay.
There's just a couple of points where you go, this feels a bit shit. But overall, it's very, very good.
Okay.
It's the guy from Game of Thrones who was Stark.
Richard Madden.
Yes.
I'm just so you know, I'm on the Radio Times website here. Ah. So it's Keely Hawkes starring as the Home Secretary and her bodyguard, Richard Madden.
Ah.
And it's created by Jed Mercutio, who's done Line of Duty, I think.
Yeah. Which I didn't watch, but everybody said that was really good.
Everyone goes on about it and stuff like that. I've been meaning to watch this. I've not had the chance to look at it yet, but there was a very interesting piece on Women's Hour this morning. So this is, Wednesday today, if you want to go back and find it on iPlayer, about the objectification of men's bodies. Apparently there's a scene in it where he's completely naked. You don't see his ding-a-ling, though, but you do see his bum in great detail.
Oh, so see his dang-a-ling, but he's not his ding-a-ling.
Is that a he's dangleberries. Sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Just like the soup in Cutchy's beard.
Jimmy.
Anyway, so Women's Hour, apparently all these guys had kicked off on Twitter being like, it's objectification of men.
Oh, men's rights arseholes.
You never see enough naked women on television anymore. They were so naked, but anyway, now that made me want to watch it though. Apparently,
because you just want to objectify men.
He's really fit and he's got a tight bum.
So Jimmy, is he really fit? Does he have a tight bum?
Oh, fuck yes. Oh yeah, I've also been watching Innocence, which is weird, but
what's
good.
That?
So it's like I'm not sure. There's Norwegian characters in it, and there's a little bit of Norwegian spoken in it, but not that much.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it's been a Norwegian show that we're now doing in English, or if Netflix have like got someone who does Norwegian shows. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Feels like a mix between a Norwegian noir thing and a British sci-fi show.
Yeah.
It feels like a mix between the two. Yeah. And it's like, so you've got these people who seem to turn into this one guy, all these different women turn into this one guy, and it's got Guy Pearce in it, and it's quite good. I've only seen the first two episodes, and if I described them to you, you'd say that doesn't sound very good, but it's done well, and it looks really good.
Yeah,
so
no, I saw a trailer for that. Forward to it. Yeah, it does look interesting. It kind of looks cool.
It might turn out to be shit. But at the moment, it seems like it's got solid writing, solid acting, solid direction. It's good. Yeah, like it.
So, I'm just looking through. So, Doctor Who, apparently, as well.
Aye. That's coming. That's with
October 6th or 8th or something like that.
And big news is that for the first time ever, it's changed from a Saturday night to a Sunday night.
Is that the big news?
Yeah.
Not that it's a female doctor.
No. Kutch does not see gender. You're gender blind now.
Yeah.
But you do not like it when the TV show goes to another night.
No, I never said I don't like it.
That's
I was
not
just like,
okay.
That was the big news today, was about right. the change in time slot.
That's a much better time slot for it.
Sunday night, it's the end of the week.
I think it's later.
I'm much more like to watch
telly. Yeah, I think it's like
Sunday
8.
Eight's better, because they used to put on at like 6:30 or like 7, mm-hmm. or 6 or 7, and it's still light. You want to watch Doctor Who when it's dark, or getting dark, to scare the shit out of kids.
You like everything in the dark.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Chris Chibnall, who's written some good episodes of Doctor Who, he also wrote Broadchurch. He's writing it. It's what's her name for Broadchurch? I've forgotten her name.
Jodie Whittaker.
It looks like we're going to do stuff I've kind of wanted Doctor Who to do, which is move away from, come up with a smart plan, I'm such a clever guy, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be more about her muddling her way through and friendships and actual relationship. And so that's what it looks like from the trailers. We can't really tell.
No. I mean,
but that looks like the focus of it
I know each time that they bring in a new doctor, there's always a bit of a reboot feel to the whole thing. But this one feels like a proper, like, start again reboot.
It is. They've gotten. Now, Chibnall said that isn't his intention and he sees it as a continuation, obviously. But the big thing, the big difference is he's got rid of Murray Gold, who does the music.
Music, right.
So he's done the music since it came back with Chris Wexton in 2005. Yeah. So now, to be fair, I thought he did some good work actually last season on a couple of episodes. But for the last couple of seasons, there's been a few points where I thought it sounds a bit phoned in.
Right,
but
okay.
I don't. Don't get me wrong. Murray Gold's done some amazing music for it, but at the same time, some of them sounded a bit not phoned in. That's harsh. Mm-hmm. Like he can only come up with so many new ideas for one show for soundtracks so often. Yeah. You know what I mean? But so it'll be interesting to see what it's like
to have a wee bit of fresh blood in there. Well, so all new fresh blood as well.
Yeah,
so, it's going to be good, I think. I've missed most of the last series of Doctor Who, not for not wanting to watch it, just not having caught it.
It's all on iPlayer, it'll disappear though soon, so watch it.
I watched the Christmas special, because I'd missed that one from,
that's a good one, isn't it? The Christmas specials are usually shit, but that one was really good.
And then I've now got a couple of them set, so I will try and catch up with them before the new
one
starts.
I have to admit, I have not watched an episode of Doctor Who for a very long time.
I don't think you'd like it, Max.
No. It's just a bit not very good at suspending reality. As you know, I'm very critical and I talk through things all the time.
What's wrong with a guy or a lady with two hearts, a time lady with two hearts in a police box wasn't red time and space?
It's just stupid. just a bit stupid. See, like, don't get it. Don't understand what they're trying to do. What's the point of it all? Where's the moral behind it? Sometimes there's a moral behind the story. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes it's a man. Sometimes it's a man. I don't know. It's too confusing.
I love it. Absolutely. Like, I have to say, there have been some cracking episodes since it started back up in 2005. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, I hadn't watched. I think I'd watched one or two episodes and just had never managed to really sit down and watch it until about 5 seasons in or something like that. I think Matt Smith, when he first came on. And then I went back and watched them from start to finish.
Kyle. Remember when Kyle was Doctor Who?
No.
That's me. I was just to say that.
Oh, yeah, he did look like Matt Smith. He does. Yeah, I forgot
that. Totally looks like Kyle.
Hi, Kyle, if you're listening.
Is Kyle the Doctor? That would make a lot of sense.
It would. Absolutely totally would.
Totally is, yeah.
But yeah, no.
Also, do you know what else makes it? So, Kyle's got a nephew.
Yeah.
Reedy.
Yeah.
Who's basically the same age as him. Time travelling! Generations mean nothing because he just keeps reproducing or whatever it is. Regenerating. Okay. Sorry, Kyle, we're not taking the piss. You're our friend, honestly.
Genuinely think you're the doctor now, though.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a guy who, another friend of a podcast, Ali used to go to uni with, who lived with, and he was called Doc. And it's because he was such a massive Doctor Who fan.
Right,
but wow. I met him before the new revival. So he was like hardcore, old school Doctor Who.
Did he not like the new one? Did he resist?
I don't know. I don't know if I talked to him about it. I definitely met him before that, because I met him when it would have been second year. So it would have been just before, I think.
Must be difficult if you're a fan of the old ones. But it seems to have gone down well.
I think
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
I'll probably watch an episode just because Jodie Whittaker and the women.
Well,
and
I guess she's pretty much good in everything she's been
I've never actually seen her in anything else. No, I don't watch a lot of telly.
I quite liked her in Attack the Block as well. She was good in
that. Oh, I forgot that's her.
She in Attack the Block?
Yeah, she was the woman.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been years since I've watched
the woman, but there is like the older woman, the adult woman character. Yeah.
No, I have seen that. That's good. I like Attack the Block.
And Broadchurch.
Oh, Attack the Block's fucking great, actually.
I remember I saw Attack the Block. I think I saw it in the cinema, and then I saw it at a festival. Mm-hmm. What festival? I can't remember where I was, but there was like a cinema tent, and we watched it in a big tent with loads of people, and it was really good. Everybody was like, oh, like when the, like. Well, I won't give it away in case you've not seen Attack the Block, but like, yeah, it's good being in a big crowd and hearing everyone's reactions and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I watched In the Loop at Festival at Glastonbury.
Oh, did you?
It was fucking great. It was really good. Yeah.
I can imagine that being quite good.
Well, I have been watching Bake Off. That's the height of culture.
Height of culture for your autumn.
For my autumn so far, for my television viewing. There's a new series of Universal Challenge. And bake-offs on. And they are baking cakes, and everyone's very nice. And I don't know what anyone's name is, because I watched an entire series of Bake Off and never know who is anyone's name is. There's a French woman.
It's a French woman who won. And
she won the first episode. She won Star Baker in the first episode. Well, second episode's just there. She didn't do very well this time.
Right.
It seems the first episode looked like she was going to run away with it, but actually she didn't do very good in the second, so that's good.
Apparently the Brexiteers on Twitter went mental.
Well, because she's not just a little bit. She's not just like, I am French, but I have been here for 30 years. No. She's like... She speaks in French, like she totally like talks to herself all the way through it in French. And they always have this bit at the end, like if you're Star Baker, they're always like get them to like phone up their partner or whatever to be like, oh, I got Star Baker. Well, she phones up her dad and just spoke in French the whole way through, and they didn't put subtitles on it or anything. Which I'm sorry, but it's just that is the middle class Channel 4 elite deliberately winding up Brexit Britain, and it's not okay.
Good, honest, hardworking British folk.
Good, honest, hardworking British people paid their bloody license fee to watch something on Channel 4 that should be in English.
They should just call her Badger and make her make mashed potatoes.
Bogère. No, it's good laugh, and No Fielding and Sandy Toksvig are hilarious.
Oh, No Fielding popped up in Disenchantment the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Like in episode 3 or 4 or something. Yeah, he's doing his Cockney sort of voice. It's Matt Groening, who did Simpsons and Futurama, has a new series on Netflix.
And it's, cartoon?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's funny. It's really good.
Doing his Cockney. Was he doing his Hitcher voice?
It wasn't quite full Hitcher. It was like a softer Hitcher. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
Because Matt Berry's in it as well, and...
Yeah, there was someone else.
Was Matt Groening like a big like Garth Marenghi fan or something?
Very possibly.
He probably is. There's a lot of like American comics who were massively into like Brass Eye and Alan Partridge. Yeah. And there was a big American comic who was really into Garth Marenghi. Who was it? Who I heard talking about. But yeah, they are totally into all these British things that aren't big over there.
Yeah.
But they sort of hear about them and watch them. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'd definitely say check it out. It's like a slightly more adult version of either Futurama or The Simpsons, but it's kind of based in a fantasy setting. But yeah, it's we've talked about it already.
Netflix.
I refuse to pay for subscription services. Right. Oh, well. Sorry.
I really like the King, whose recurring joke is like, he's like someone from New York or like, or you know, somewhere. And he's like, he's always talks about. talks about what he's doing. Yeah. He's like walking up the stairs, looks normal. Come on to the landing. Everything looks clean and nice. And then he comes in and so, whoa, what's happened here? It's really weird. And everybody else has English accents. Yeah. It's really, it's good. It's
clearly, clearly that's a man who works at home on his own most of the day, because that's what you do. Like, to be honest, when you've been at home for 3 days straight and not spoken to a single soul other than by email, you do start putting on funny accents and talking to your plants. Just keeps you safe.
If you I talk to my cat a lot, but he never talks back to me. Oh. But when he does, then I'll know I've truly lost it.
Or he has gained full sentience.
Yeah, yeah. One of the two. Oh.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think the only other thing that I'm kind of looking forward to TV-wise against Netflix is Iron Fist. That's coming out.
Which I, as listeners will know, hated the first series of.
What is it?
It's a Marvel thing, but it's about...
Oh, God. How many fucking Marvel things are there, honestly?
Yeah, it's like a martial arts guy, and he's got a glowy fist, which... and he So he's meant to be really good, but he, like a martial arts... But it's the guy from Game of Thrones, and he was like fucking shit at martial arts, and it really fucked me up. And the writing was terrible, and the series was terrible. But what? The second one has been getting better reviews. Some reviews just hit today, and... He was in a Luke Cage series and they'd fixed him. They'd fixed the character. He didn't seem like a twat anymore. And he was better at martial arts. And the fight choreography did more with what he could do. Good.
They fixed his glowy hand because that sounds like a bit of an impediment.
He's still got his glowy hand.
So he's good at
You can always
arts,
find him in a crowd.
Yeah, exactly. He can't sleep up on you in the dark. Just sleep him out the way.
Although, I would say, did you see the thing in the trailer for it? The last trailer where he was like, I didn't ask for the Iron Fist. It's like,
you
fucking did. You went and...
Punched a dragon in the heart.
It was your whole goal. It's like, what do you mean you didn't ask for the Iron Fist?
There is a line in the first series where he says something like, I plunged my fist into a dragon. And it's like, mate, don't want to know where you're plunging your fist. Come on.
But yeah, no, I'm quite looking forward to that.
It actually looks good the second season. Yeah, and I have hope for it.
Oh, no. I absolutely, again, will shovel anything Marvel into my eyes and my mouth and my ears.
And?
Anywhere else. Okay. Last night, Infinity War kind of released, so went on, purchased it, and that was at midnight, and sat up till 3 in the morning watching it. Because it's fucking good. It's a good film.
I'll need to rewatch it.
This is why we have no chat today, folks. Kutch sat up till 3 in the morning watching a film that he's already seen twice?
Once,
okay.
Now I've seen it twice. I'll probably watch it again another couple of times before the week's out.
Now we have no banner. Well, I listened to a very interesting Radio 4 documentary about dragons the other day.
That's right.
Just saying, just listened to, just linked in when you were talking about.
Really?
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was talking about, like, it talked about how it was a natural history program. Like, how can you do a natural history program about dragons? But they got on to talking about, like, Komodo dragons and how, like, they reckon that's what a lot of, certainly from in the East, a lot of the Eastern stories about dragons were based on Komodo dragons, and they had the account of an airman. He was like one of the. Was it an airman? Must have been. Yeah, his plane crashed. His plane crashed on the remote island, because they only live on like one remote island now. And his plane crashed in like the early 1900s or something, and he had to live on the island for like 3 months with Komodo dragons. Oh, he was shitting himself. But yeah, that's worth a listen to. So you can go to, what's it called? Dragon Fist. Watch some Dragon Fist. And they go to
Iron Fist, but close enough.
Iron Fist with the man, but he punched the dragon, did he not?
He did.
And then you can pop over to iPlayer Radio and go to the Radio 4 documentary about. I think it's called Here Be Dragons.
And listen to
the history of dragons.
Sounds very, very good. Well, I don't know. Will we bring things to a close?
Yeah, let's spiral into the darkness like autumn.
You're such a cheery
soul. Welcome it. I welcome its cold embrace.
That's the poem.
I'm absolutely loving these really dark endings we've got at the moment.
Shall we end on it? I feel like we should end on a poem. What's the Ode to Autumn?
I have no idea. Well, you look that up while I just run through some housekeeping here.
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
But yeah, so I think next week, might have an episode from Best of the West with the Coaltown Daisies, because that's where I'm heading off to this weekend. And I've been diligently getting some permissions to record there and talk to people. So hopefully I'll have something. I don't know what we'll get, but there'll be something from that. So that'll be next week's episode. Nice. And then after that, we'll hopefully be back to full working casts. At least four of us on, and be a bit more prepared with some more content. It's been summer's just been a bit of a mad time, really. I think
yeah.
It's just meant that people have been in and out and whatnot.
Also, if you want to contact us or subscribe to us or look at shit, then please go to our website www.fiveclub.co.uk or on Facebook Five Club. Or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, Instagram Five Club, or email us at ken@fiveclub.co.uk.
Boom. That'll do. Yeah. So, yeah. And again, as we keep saying, if you want to chuck in a buck.
Yeah.
Chuck in a buck.
Or buy something on the store exactly. And you get something back.
Yeah.
Which Kutch literally took minutes to design.
I feel like we should do a video. We should do a vlog.
Uh-huh.
Of us all modelling the merch.
Merch, yeah.
I feel like that would really inspire sales if people were to see you wearing a penny. Nothing else, just a penny. Five Club penny. Dave can have...
I thought you said inspire.
That's too close to face-to-face communication for my liking with our fan base.
Do you not want to see video recordings?
No.
Well, no. We could do still shots.
But Jamie, your sex tape's going up on the website.
We've already got that in Ghana.
No, so yeah, like we say, just check it all
buy
out.
Some merch. Buy some merch.
Chuck in a buck, whatever you want. But yeah, brings us to that time of the evening where I have to ask Mags, what's the motto this week?
The closing poem.
That can be your motto.
I think
you set that up quite nicely, yeah, and you just fucked it, Mags.
it's longer than I thought. Also, it's very sexual. I don't know if it's just my dirty mind.
Let me get my hand in my pants.
Right. I'm just going to read the first few lines, and you can see whether you think it's sexual.
Okay.
There's lots of bosoms.
Sexual spelt with a C. Sexual.
It's talking about clammy cells and sitting careless on the granary floor, soft-lipped by the winnow. Anyway, right.
This sounds like a Nigella Lawson sort of fanfiction.
This is so Nigella. Right? I'm going to read this and you're going to imagine Nigella reading it. And, yeah.
I can't do that. I'd be too sexy.
It's fine. I will kill all sexual desires. I have a terrible reading style. Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Close-bosomed friend of the maturing sun. Conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run, to bend with apples the mossed cottage trees and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core. I feel like that's quite Nigel.
Oh yeah.
wait, it gets better. To swell the gourd and plump the hazel shell with a sweet kernel to set budding more and still more late flowers for the bees until they think warm days will never cease. For summer has o'erbrimmed their clammy cells.
Stop, I'm going to atomicummel.
Oh, well done. But yeah, that was dirty.
It's totally dirty, isn't it? Sorry, Keats. Like, clearly. I'm sure I read this at school and I did not twig how dirty it was.
Keats, you absolute filth bag.
Filth bag.
Yes, usually kind of all the sexy poems are all about spring, things, you know, coming forth and whatnot. But that's, yeah.
So now autumn is a bit mad shagging.
Well, it is. It's the dark night's coming.
Keats,
in,
you absolute shagger.
Dark night's coming in.
So there you go. So that's a new thing. I feel like we should have a poem of the week at the end rather than a motto of the week.
You can.
Whenever I'm on, listeners.
You're trying to make us into Radio 4, like fucking Thought of a Day or something. Thought for the Day.
Of course I am. That's like. You guys do know I only do this podcast because I feel it's a stepping stone to have my own Radio 4 programme. Or at least being on Late Night Women's Hour with Lauren Laverne, which is my favourite
Women's Hour. Be on Women's Hour. I spewed at a wedding, called someone a Nazi, and I felt like I was being persecuted because I don't get invited to weddings for some reason.
Honestly, if any of the producers want me to come and do my spewing at a wedding story, I will happily do it. I feel like this might be my road to fame.
Real stories from real women.
No, I feel like, on today's Women's Hour, we talk about hormone replacement therapy for the menopause, how to bake the perfect true pastry buns, and have you ever spewed at someone's wedding?
It is always a thing like that at the end. It's
like, yeah, they always have like three things on. Spewed at a wedding could totally make
it. Yeah, you could totally make it.
Fair enough. Right. Well, anyway, I think we should say good night.
Good night.
Night. Yeah, it's better.
Bye, belong.
You're gonna be slurping all the way through this.
Oh,
Mind you, we slurp this all the time. So.
ASMR.
Do people get ASMR from that? From people slipping their tea. I thought ASMR was...
All sorts of...
People whispering.
Oh, it's anything.
It's anything.
Anything. All sorts of shit. Tune on ghosts.
Broker already. This was like you at that wedding, Max. Trying to hold in the spew.
What?
You don't hear this story?
No.
I'll tell it on the podcast.
Okay. awesome. And then this bit can go in at the end.
Right. Get a quick bit of silence.